Today on Real Radio.
I watched a pagan altar be built this week. I watched it as I toggle between channels on Fox News. I watched it on CNN. This was the day after the shooting. A man got up and I quote, "We pray and call upon the name of Allah the Merciful. Allah rules over the earth and is kind," close quote. He went on to speak, and when he got done speaking, he got the loudest ovation. Then he sat down, and we got a message from Buddhism. Let me ask you this. In watching that, was there any Christian representation? Was there any prayer? There was prayer made to Allah, who's not the God of the Bible. Was there any prayer to Yahweh in Jesus' name? No. I watched it from start to finish. Jesus' name was not mentioned. Why? Because you know what? We can offer a prayer up in the name of Allah, the Merciful. But you mention Jesus Christ in prayer, and you know what? We may sue you, says the ACLU.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. This week we're in a mini-series that's taken from chapter 5. Chapter 5 is a song, the entire chapter. Deborah and Barak sing a song of praise because of Israel's deliverance from the Canaanites. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called This Is Why We Sing.
Do you remember when they're going in the Exodus? God's leading them. Can you imagine all that incredible presence of God? Look, he was so visible to them that the children of Israel said, "Man, this is scary. It's scary. Moses, talk to him over there. We're freaking out here. The mountain shakes, the ground trembles, we see lightning flashing forth." He led them. What did they do? Moses goes up to the mountain. He's fellowshipping with God. And somebody got in their mind, "You know what? We need to worship other gods." Doesn't that sound incredibly stupid? How long has it been? It's been 40 days. 40 days. I don't know about you guys, but my discipleship training can only take me at about 40 days. I got to go back to these Egyptian gods. Can somebody bring some gold here? We'll melt it down and make a calf, a little golden calf. And we'll just hold it up and say, "Look at the God that led us out of Egypt." And they all, I like J. Vernon McGee says, and they all bowed down. All the people left the living God and bowed down to Egypt's bull. I thought that was great. When you're J. Vernon McGee, you can say things like that. They're all bowing down saying, "This is the cow. This is the bull that brought us up. Look at it." And they're holding this little cow. In fact, it's his gods. They made multiple cows, bulls. And you know, a lot of these bulls have been found. You know, they're actually housed in museums. Egyptian bulls found in the wilderness of the Sinai. Actually found. There's some bulls in Israel, enshrined in museums. And by the way, they were little things. They were not big, you know, like the Wall Street bull, that big bull. These are little things. And they had more than one. We've got bull. Yes, we do. We've got bull. How about you? We've got bull. Yes, we do. They had many bulls. Here a bull, there a bull. But they chose new gods. Look at this. They departed from the Lord, verse 8 tells us. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. You get that? Wow. Are you saying that there's a connection? There can be. Not always, but there can be. Boy, it's a frightening thing when war comes to your turf, to your land. That's an attack. You got to stop and ask the question, why? Why is the attack coming? What have we done? If an attack comes, what have we done? That's a natural... Look, before political correctness was birthed from the pit of hell, people used to naturally think, why has this come to us? Now you can't. Now you're not allowed to think like that because you might have a negative thought. God says, "You listen, you walk away from me and you're out. You're away from the umbrella, kids. Listen, you walk with an umbrella on a hot day or a rainy day, you're not going to get burnt and you're not going to get wet. But when you walk away from the umbrella, good luck because luck's all you got. Think about it. This week we saw some little chicks with the mother hen. How sweet is that? And it was really hot where we were at, and the mother opens up her wings like this, and the little chicks come in, and she creates this perfect little umbrella. Of course, she's, you know, hot and all burning up like that from the heat. But, you know, they have found chickens in barnyard fires. Did you hear about it? You've seen this. You've seen this in history or on nature channels where mother hens have burned to death in barn fires. And the little chicks, she's burned to a crisp, and underneath her wings are the little chicks still alive. A mother hen will do that. God says, come here. I want to shelter you under my wings. And we're all running around. I don't need your wings. I'm fine over here. I'm doing my own thing. You're going to get burned. God, listen, God says, you'll be safe. Stay with me. And they said, no. We're going to trade you in for a new God. We want new gods. That's what we want. And he says, well, okay, look what happens. You leave the umbrella, there's war in the gates. Look what it says there in verse 8. There's war in the gates. And here's the thing. They became so liberal in their thinking that you couldn't find a shield or a spear to defend yourself out of 40,000 people in Israel. We have to have sword and spear control. That's what's wrong. It's those doggone swords. They just jump off the table and they go after people. No, they don't. It's the wicked heart behind those things. It's the wicked mind. And they gave up on God. And they said, we're going to follow other gods. And you know, you may say, well, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? No, you need to learn and study who those other gods were that Israel went after. They were incredibly violent and vile gods. Horrible gods. And Israel invited them in. You know what? When you're a worshiper, you can't waste time about worrying about those kinds of things. When you're worshiping the Lord and building altars, wherever you go, as we mentioned last time, you're not going to get involved chasing other little ding-dong silly gods. There's nothing in it for you. The entire chapter 5 is an altar to the glory of God and worship. Make no mistake about it. God says, you leave me and you can get hurt. He doesn't hurt us. But if we leave him, we're going to get hurt just by, well, as Israel got hurt by the infiltration of the enemy. We read in previous chapters that Israel's enemies came and lived among them and led their young children over to the worship of pagan and foreign gods. I had a wonderful, I guess it was wonderful. It's wonderful, I guess, I think. Today, a phone call. We had a meeting, conference call for the Family Research Council. And there's 12 of us on that board. And one of the guys is a very, very famous, wonderful pastor in America. And Tony Perkins asked, he said, anybody want to share anything that's on your heart? And he began to share something. And as he began to share, independently, we began to mention from our telephones, from our locations, that's exactly what's in my heart. That's exactly what we're seeing. That's exactly what we see happening. And this man began to just cry out. It was holy. And it was powerful. And at one point in time, when he was done and we were discussing it, I said, you guys, I have to say, I have my notes open in front of me on my computer for tonight, and the things that we just got done saying and what Pastor so-and-so just was expressing from his heart, I've got in my notes. And it's amazing to me, America, we have expelled God from our worship in the sense that he's not allowed anymore anywhere. Think for a moment. Don't tune out. Tune in more than ever right now. Make no mistake about it. Listen carefully to this. The United States of America was well known as a Christian nation in her upbringing. There's no doubt about it. It's documented. It's factual. The founding fathers said so. Did any of you buy that book about the intent of the signers that David Barton brought here that Sunday morning? Read about the heart and about the beliefs of our founding fathers. Abraham Lincoln literally states, and it is documented, that this is a Christian nation governed by the Bible. Abraham Lincoln said that. The world used to see America as a Christian nation. The world viewed America as a Christian nation. You cannot say that anymore. Make no mistake about it. Foreign gods and prophets have now directed America. You guys, America is in bed with foreign gods. I watched a pagan altar be built this week, a foreign altar, and it was powerful. And I happened to have been in a time zone that allowed me to see it, and maybe you were probably at work, I would think. It was early morning where I was at. And before I tell you about it, let me just put this. Let me preface it. Where does America go when there's a tragedy? Don't answer. Where does America go when there's a tragedy? Where do you go when there's a tragedy? Whatever you go to, that's your God. Is it Coke? Is it Seagram 7? What is it? When a tragedy comes to your home, or to your university, or to your nation, where do you go? That tells everything about the direction in which you worship. You can't fool people with that one. There's no lying to that. Where do you go when there's a tragedy? We got the answer this week. I watched it as I toggle between channels on Fox News. I watch it on CNN, BBC America, and the network news, live, from the campus of Virginia Tech University, televised around the world. The time zone that I was in, it was about 11 o'clock or noon. And this is what we heard, and I recorded it. A man got up. This was the day after the shooting. Man got up and I quote, "We pray and call upon the name of Allah the Merciful. Allah rules over the earth and is kind," close quote. He went on to speak, and when he got done speaking, he got the loudest ovation. Then he sat down and we got a message from Buddhism, from representatives of Buddhism on the campus of Virginia Tech. Then we had Judaism represented, and the woman read from a portion of Ecclesiastes. Let me ask you this. In watching that, was there any Christian representation? Was there any prayer? There was prayer made to Allah, who's not the God of the Bible. Was there any prayer to Yahweh? Was there any prayer to God in Jesus' name? No. I watched it from start to finish. Jesus' name was not mentioned. Why? Because you know what? We can offer a prayer up in the name of Allah, the Merciful. But you mentioned Jesus Christ in prayer, and you know what? We may sue you, says the ACLU. You pray in Jesus' name, and we want to meet with you. I thank God for this church who a couple of years ago, city councils told us, you come and pray at our city council meetings, but you pastors at Calvary, you don't mention Jesus' name anymore. You know what we said to them? You pray to yourself in your meetings. Amen. We're not coming. No one's listening. Unless you pray in Jesus' name. How can you say that? Isn't that narrow-minded? Absolutely narrow-minded. Jesus died on the cross. He's the intercessor between God and man. There's not gods, even though there are altars to gods. There's not gods that people can select to address. There's only one true God. And it's not Allah. It's Yahweh, the God of the Bible. The Lord is God. And it was a very heart-shaking thing, and I got to tell you, when it says here they chose new gods, has not America chosen new gods? I said it before. I had some people make fun of me, and they said, you know what, you're a lunatic. I said it a couple years ago. We turn our back on God, and you can start watching calamity. We'll lose in Iraq. We'll get freaked out weather. Our food supplies will dwindle. God will. I'm not a prophet. I just have read the Bible. And whenever a nation turns its back on God, it can be Canada. You turn your back on God, and God removes his blessings. The difficult thing about America is that no nation has been given the amount of light America has had. To whom much is given, Jesus said, much is required. You guys, these are serious days ahead of us. We need to pray and call out to God and fast and seek God's face, that he would rain down righteousness upon us again and forgiveness. And that we wouldn't lead the world in teen pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases. That our kids would actually grow up being loved and taken care of and nurtured. That we would dare esteem the raising up of our children more than anything else that we would attain in this life. You guys, it's our kids who will be next to our dying deathbed, not our Mercedes or our Bentley. It's not going to be our speedboat or our airplane or our bank account that comes up alongside of our bed at our death and say, oh, who are you going to leave me to? We've gone after other gods. And it's let's go to the fourth and final point, and we'll end with this. This is why we sing, fourth and final point, because we worship the Lord we love. Look at verse 31. It says, thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. So the land had rest for 40 years. You put God first, you know what? You have peace. Look, don't we all want peace? Don't we want to have our troops come home? Don't we want to have, and boy, honestly, those of you in military, our troops may come home from Afghanistan and Iraq, but you guys, things are heating up down in the area of Malaysia. Oy, oy, oy. We have troops down there. It's going crazy. You see, why are we there? First of all, nations ask us to come and help. And the other thing is, you always want to fight the person who wants to kill you. You want to fight him on his front lawn, not yours. There's people that want to kill you, especially if you're a Christian, and especially if you're an American taxpayer. One of the pastors I was on the phone with today in Washington, D.C., he was in Jerusalem. He made the wrong turn. We would never, by the way, let you make this wrong turn, trust me. He made the wrong turn. He went out after hours by himself. He'd never been there before. He got down the wrong neighborhood. This dear brother, I love him dearly. He was born and raised in South Africa. You'd never know it by looking at him. He pastors a church in Seattle, Washington. Went down the wrong turn, turned around, and he was there confronted by about 9 Palestinian 19, 20-year-olds. And they said, you're an American. And he said, I am not an American. They said, look at you. Look at you and listen to you. You're an American. You support the Jews. You're an American taxpayer. And he knew that his life was in danger. And he said, I'm a South African. And one of the kids started speaking to him in Afrikaan to test him. First of all, he was shocked that a Palestinian kid would know Afrikaan. Only a few people in the world know Afrikaan. And he spoke back in Afrikaan. And they said, okay, wow, all right, sorry, you can go. And they let him leave. What would have happened if he couldn't have spoken Afrikaan and he was an American? You want your enemies dealt with in their backyard, not your yard. A man came up to me recently at a prophecy conference I was speaking at and very much resented that. And I said, if somebody was coming to your house to kill your children and to pillage your wife, where would you stop him? When would you stop him? That's not the point. I said, it is the point. What if you heard that four houses up, this man had pillaged a home and he was on his way to your house? Where and when do you stop him? Well, I would talk to him. I'd go out and talk to him. I would go out and talk to him. And I said, what if that failed? When do you call out to God for help and for strength? You guys, the Lord loves life. He loves Palestinians and he loves Peruvians. He loves Chino Hillians and he loves Chicagoans. He loves life. And if you will turn and say, God, be the Lord of my life, and may that be visible by how and when I worship you. The truth will always be that when we worship him, are we getting ready for heaven? When we worship, are we practicing heaven? Don't raise your hand, but don't you want to go to heaven? I know we got work to do right now, but you know what? It's okay. If God says, well, Jack, you know, let's go. Okay. We're going to heaven, you guys. Paul said, who got a glimpse of it, Paul said, it would be illegal for me to speak about it, ain't going to talk about it, not going to write a New York Times bestselling book about it. Paul said, I'm not going to talk about it, but I tell you this, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the minds of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That is awesome. Now watch this. That's where we're going. You say, oh, this is going to be great. You know what? If you're anticipating that, you don't know how long it's going to be. What you want to be doing is practicing what you're going to be doing there. And there's only one way to bring down a little taste of it in our lives right now. And that's by worship. That's why worship is fabric to the believer. We are longing for heaven. We can't wait to see him face to face. The only fix we get until that day comes is worship. And we worship and we sing and we go home and we wake up in the morning or we drive our car and we either sing or we'll, you know, it's worship. And sometimes the greatest worship is manifested in wordless, heart welling, yes! Or, Lord, you're just overcome. That is the life of the believer. That's why we sing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called This Is Why We Sing. It's actually a mini-series we're presenting this week, taken from the book of Judges, chapter 5. Now, last month, we wrapped up Pastor Jack's examination of the New Testament letter from Paul to the Ephesians. Now, whether you'd like to hear it again or you missed any part of it, here's the good news. We've taken the entire series and placed it all on one MP3 CD. Our offer? For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's series in Ephesians. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and indicate the Ephesians Study Series on MP3 CD. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.